last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, the world's biggest chip maker, Nvidia, which is so important to AI, has unveiled a new tech platform for self-driving cars. It says its system, Alpameo, will bring reasoning to autonomous vehicles, allow cars to think through rare scenarios, drive safely in complex environments, and explain their driving decisions. He said the ChatGPT moment for physical AI is almost here. Okay, Geraldine Herbert, a motoring journalist at the Sunday Independent. How close do you think are we to all being able to have self-driving cars? Let artificial intelligence do the driving for us?
Well, I mean, breakthroughs like this are really key because one of the big issues are edge cases. And these are kind of bizarre instances that self-driving cars don't traditionally handle very well. But if this was the case and if they could, you know, reason like a human, then that wouldn't be the issue. I mean, the robotic end of things, moving cars from A to B safely, has been well and truly solved. We can see that with Waymo's robo-taxi network in the States. They completed, I think it was 10 million fully driverless journeys by August of last year. Nissan also had a trial in the UK where they actually trialed a Nissan Leaf 16,000 miles on a combination of urban and rural roads. So we know all of those things are possible. The problem is, though, every environment and every country throws up its own peculiarities. For us, it's weather, it's poorly marked roads, it's bad signage. So that's where that's the stumbling block more than anything. The technology is advancing, but the environment and controlling the environment is the issue.
Russell Vickers is Chief Executive of the Future Mobility Campus Ireland. Isn't there a big difference between being able to send driverless cars on the grid road system of the cities of America and onto their motorways, rather than the type of roads we have here in Ireland and indeed in Europe, where particularly as well they may be narrower, they may not run in straight lines, and where also space has to be shared with the likes of cyclists?
Yeah, it's definitely a different environment that we have in Europe. But I think, Matt, for a lot of the use cases that the initial rollout of these services for things such as robo-taxis are predominantly on motorways in Ireland, as well as, you know, are going to be on motorways as well as in city environments, rather than trying to tackle the rural roads. That's kind of a lesser factor at the moment, because the demand is probably there's less demand for those types of services.
Would you be confident, though, that these cars can be regarded as safe and indeed hit the standard of being regarded as being safer than those driven by humans?
Yeah, well, that's kind of why I suppose part of the rollout in Europe is there's a legislative piece that's slowed it down in Europe, but part of it is on the safety elements, where in Europe we're kind of more, you know, we're more safety conscious, let's say. So that's the vehicles can see better than, you know, these robotaxis can see better than we can. They can anticipate in a lot of cases better than we can, and they pay attention to the roads. Now, as Geraldine said, it's there are these corner cases and these cases where these essentially learner drivers are trying to figure out these situations that they've never encountered before. But in a lot of use cases where, you know, you have something where maybe, like, as human drivers, we're not paying attention, we're looking at our phones, those scenarios just don't occur with these vehicles, and in turn then they become a lot safer.
But Geraldine Herbert, before I go to Brian Caulfield, I want to go back to you, but are these cars going to be cheap enough for people to buy, or will it be that they won't be expected to buy them, that they'll only be renting them like taxis rather than ever owning them?
Yeah, I can't see the point of owning one, to be honest, Matt. I mean, I think the cost would be prohibitive, because if you're going to put all of this, you know, technology onto a car, it makes it incredibly safe, but incredibly expensive as well. And the question remains, why would you have one sitting outside your door for 23 hours a day? So, yeah, I think what we're looking at certainly for the next decade are simply robo-taxis and, availing of hiring one of these or getting one of these, but certainly not it's sitting outside your door.
Okay, Brian Caulfield is Professor in Transportation at the School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin. Are you looking forward to the era of these driverless cars replacing human-driven cars?
Am I looking forward to it? I'm not so sure. Essentially, what these cars will do will be making driving an awful lot easier. I think, and I agree with Geraldine, if the cars are shared and it's getting people to stop purchasing a car, and we've got networks or fleets of these vehicles that are taking away, you know, the need to own a car, I think that's a really good idea. However, if these cars are going to be, everybody has them, and I think, as you both have said, costs will be prohibitive there. There are an awful lot of climate impacts. There's climate impacts in terms of, you know, the materials used to make these cars, but then also the data that's required in order for these cars to operate safely in the environments. But there's one thing that these cars will not solve. Electric cars haven't solved it. Diesel cars, petrol cars. Congestion. None of these are going to solve congestion in any way, shape or form.
But sorry, Brian, is there not an argument that they will, that if you only use them on a rented basis, that you only order the car for when you actually need it, and then somebody else has the car, rather than leaving a car which is parked up outside the house or in a car park or outside your office, unused maybe for 90% of the day?
Yes, there is that argument there, but basically what the other argument would be is that it makes car travel much easier. So you kind of get this rebound effect where there's going to be more of this car traveling, because it will be, you know, like ordering a taxi, one of these will show up in our cities. I do see an awful lot of use cases for this in rural parts of Ireland, whereby the taxi services are poor. It's hard to get taxis in those and those parts of the country, and it's hard to provide good public transport. I see use cases there, but in our cities, there's, you know, physical constraints in terms of the road space that we have, the sizes of these vehicles. This will not be a silver bullet. It would not impact people on the M50 right now. It's not going to solve those problems.
Russell Vickers, would you trust these cars in rural Ireland on poorly lit country roads? It might be great for somebody to be able to go to the pub and have a few pints and feel they're going to be driven home by the self-driving car. But will that self-driving car be able to negotiate the narrow, dimly lit country roads?
In a certain element, they will be. But as you see what's happening, the rollout of in San Francisco, for example, there's been a lot of, you know, mapping of those streets and careful route planning and things like that. And it's only now that the vehicles kind of have more autonomy in their own areas. And a lot of that has been geofenced. So that's possible and it's doable. It just takes the effort. But I think part of the, you know, what we're talking about here is that there's two distinct types of services. There's what Waymo are doing, which is a robo-taxi where the vehicle runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just, you know, that's how they sweat the asset. But then for the drivers on the roads today, the vehicles are getting, you know, level 2+, which is kind of like a hands-off driving feature, is pretty much, it's in production in a lot of vehicles. It's just not legally allowed on the roads in most countries in Europe and in Ireland at the moment. So there's kind of a, where the cars that we buy on the everyday roads are, you know, they're getting smarter and autonomy is somewhat there in that. And then there's the way someone like Waymo is approaching it, where it's just basically they don't expect to have a driver in that car at any time.
Geraldine Herbert, we have a few Tesla fans getting in touch saying it has all the technology ready, but has it? Has Elon Musk delivered on his promises in relation to self-driving cars?
No, and I would say the difference between the likes of the Waymo taxis and what's on Tesla, Tesla relies solely on cameras. The Waymos, and the reason they'd be so expensive, is rely on LiDAR, radar and cameras. And then they use AI to sort of, you know, get a complete picture of what's going on. So that's why they have proved to be much safer. You know, I mean, relying just purely on cameras. I mean, I know people will say, oh, we rely purely on our eyes and cameras are the same, but there's a lot more going on. So no, the technology is there, but no, he hasn't delivered on his famous promise of self-driving cars.
Yeah, because just back to you, Brian Caulfield, I know the multimillionaire businessman Dermot Desmond recently suggested in a piece that was carried in the Irish Times that we shouldn't be building the metro to Dublin Airport because we will be depending on self-driving buses and taxis in the decades to come. What do you make of that argument?
It again goes back to road space. There simply isn't enough bus. There simply enough road space to accommodate the amount of buses that will be required, autonomous or otherwise, or autonomous cars or otherwise. However, there's a really good plan, because the metro is going to be autonomous and the metro will be able to deliver the volume of passengers that it requires. And I suspect if people are thinking about taking an autonomous vehicle to the airport, I suspect the metro will probably get them there quicker than or first, before any of these autonomous taxis will ever be allowed to operate on our Irish roads.
Thank you very much, Professor Brian Caulfield from Trinity College Dublin. Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent, and Russell Vickers, chief executive of the Future Mobility Campus in Shannon.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.